Hello, I'm Terry David Mulligan. This week on Tasting Room Radio, our first three segments this week are taken up in talking about the hospitality industry. Our guests are Dana Lee Harris, the Executive Director of the BC Hospitality Foundation. Think about the people around you when you dine, the waitstaff, the kitchen, the cleaners, front of house. Think about all of the people tied in to the hospitality industry, the cleaning staff in the hotels. There is no safety net for them, and that's what the BC Hospitality Foundation is supplying. And Matt Sherlock, who is the Director of Marketing at Nickel Vineyard and is the partner at Lock & Worth on the Naramata Bench, they have decided to give $10 to each case that is sold of Nickel Pinot Gris. Quite simply, one of the most popular wines made in Canada. And we can make some serious money here if everybody pitches in. So that's what we're going to talk about. BC Hospitality Foundation, Nickel, Lock & Worth. And we finish with John Glavina, the founder of Giant Head Winery in Summerland. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of six or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Joa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're almost finished February. From the land of three named people, Dana Lee Harris, the Executive Director of the BC Hospitality Foundation, and Matt Sherlock from Nickel Vineyard and Lock & Worth. We're going to talk about fundraising for the BC Hospitality Foundation. But first, are you both well? Yes?
Yes, I am.
Yep, doing great.
Okay, fine. Starting with you, Dana. What do you think 2021 is going to turn out to be like? What do your bones tell you?
My bones tell me that we will be, I'm taking a guess here, but I think that we'll be able to socialize outside in the summer as we did last year, and that hopefully we'll see a little bit of this return to normal, but not till kind of November.
Hmm. Matthew?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, if campsite reservations are any indication, people are still jonesing to travel within the province pretty hard this year, which I think will be good for local tourism. Hopefully restaurants get some outdoor dining, patios boosted up. But I'm with Dana that, back to some more normalcy in October, November.
Apparently they can't make Airstreams fast enough. They're sold out.
Yeah.
Everybody wants wheels underneath them, and they want some security of some kind. Okay, here we go. I'm glad we got that worked out. Now, Dana, remind people of the value of the BC Hospitality Foundation and how this grassroots organization has grown to this year of 2021.
Thanks, Terry. The BC Hospitality Foundation, we help out people in the hospitality industry that come across financial difficulties because of a health condition. And that health condition can be for themselves, a family member, a child, a spouse. And we also give out scholarships. So we have about $40,000, just over $40,000 worth of scholarships that are open for application right now, and they close on March 31st. We started out back in about 2006, and raising funds for a gentleman in the wine industry that needed a breathing machine that cost $50,000.
Yep.
So a group of people got together and raised that $50,000. And when we gave that money to Michael Willingham, he said that the only way he would take it was if we started a charity.
Sure.
That helped out other people in the hospitality industry. So I'm proud to say that we are the only hospitality charity of its kind in Canada. And we have given out over $1.25 million in money to almost 300 beneficiaries since our inception, as well as that includes as well giving money to about over 300 scholarship recipients.
Just describe some of the job descriptions so people understand, because they're seeing these people every day and maybe they just don't, it doesn't register.
Yeah, so the job descriptions, obviously in hospitality, those would be people in that serve you. They're your baristas, they're your chefs, the hostesses, they're the people in the hotels, the cleaning people in the hotels, the managers. But as well, we go as far as winemakers, brewmasters, vineyard people that work in the vineyards, everybody that brings, you know, people that work for GFS, Gordon Food Services, you know, the food supplying company, food truck people we've helped out. So it's really a large group of people that we help out, and it also encompasses people in tourism.
Well, some people, I mean, I've heard people say, well, where's the safety net? This is one of them, right?
This is one of them for sure. You know, we're here to make sure that you know, people don't lose their homes and don't lose their, you know, everything that they've worked for because they've had a child diagnosed with cancer or because they've been diagnosed with cancer or they've had a stroke or, I mean, we've even helped out, we had a chef that went to work at a hotel in the southern Okanagan, and when he arrived to his new job as a chef, his car was broken into and the people took his glasses and he couldn't read the recipes. So he really couldn't even start work and he was, you know, in between jobs. So he didn't have the money to cover it. And within a day we had money to him to get his glasses so that he'd get back to work. He was, you know, that small to very large instances.
And Matt Sherlock, you are the director of sales and marketing and the right-hand guy, the wingman, as it were, at Nickel Vineyard. Why did you step forward? What was it thinking?
The hospitality industry is a huge part of our sales channel. Hotels and restaurants and cafes and bars. Nickel and Lochinworth, we're not part of the VQA channel, which doesn't mean we get our grapes from somewhere strange. I can see most of the vineyard we make wine from the winery. It's just that we don't participate in the government sales channels or the grocery sales channels. So a huge part of our business has always been what we call on-premise sales, or when the consumer drinks our product at the shop, the restaurant, the hotel, the bar. Obviously, a lot of that sales channel has gone away for us in the last year and a half. And we just decided not to kind of dump a bunch of wine in government stores or to go the grocery store route, and instead to just offer to direct-to-consumer basically our restaurant pricing. But because we have wine to offer to the consumer at that price, we thought it's really important for us to make a contribution to that channel that's really hurt and bad right now. So hopefully this is a win for everyone. We ship some wine that we normally would have sold to restaurants. Our end consumer can buy it for a really nice price. That's an artisanal product, and we can in turn help out a little bit.
So Dana, how can we help?
Everything Dana is doing.
How can the listeners help? Wine fans, what can they do?
Oh, wine fans. So Matt reached out to me a couple of weeks ago and offered to he was going to donate $10 a case for every case sold to the BC Hospitality Foundation. So of the Pinot Gris, the 2019 Pinot Gris.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
It is.
Always been a solid wine. So yeah, they can just go right to the website for Nickel Vineyards and purchase the Pinot Gris. Matt, you can add a couple other places, but I got to tell you, when I went on, I also joined the wine club because, the wines from Nickel are solid, and I'm looking forward to being a wine club member as well.
Yes.
Yay.
Now, how many cases of this precious Gris did you make, Matthew?
We made just under 3,000 cases, so It is the bulk of our production at Nickel. It is about 85% of our production, which is great because it's a really wonderful wine. It's a pain in the butt to make, especially with the color. There's a lot of
Yeah.
physical labor involved. It is definitely an artisanal project. That might sound like a lot of wine to people, but really, in the grand scheme of things,
And
it's not.
what is a case going to cost us?
It's $15.50 plus tax, and we're offering free shipping within British Columbia and free shipping within Canada on a purchase of two cases or more.
You know what? Here's the deal. We spent those 4.5 years on the Naramata bench, and the one wine, the only wine that we consistently bought by the case lot was this wine right here, this Pinot Gris, because we were crazy, crazy for this wine. And to this day, as a matter of fact, last night, Meg had hidden a bottle in the fridge because she knows when I see it, I'm going to drink it. So in order to make the bottle last longer, she hides it behind the lettuce.
Nice.
And I discovered it and I drank it. And I said it was research. I said I was doing research so that I could talk
It's
to my.
delicious.
There you go. It is a perfect wine to do this with. How will we spend? Well, we know how we're going to spend these funds. We can raise some real dough here, Dana.
Oh yeah. This is a large donation. It's going to be a large donation for the BC Hospitality Foundation. I thank Nickel Vineyard for it. Personally, I've made a bit of a dent with five cases that we're sharing amongst family and friends that
That's
have
it.
arrived safe and sound.
Okay. Tell us about the hospitality hustle. Hashtag.
Oh yeah, the hospitality hustle. So, hospitality hustle is going to kick off on March 15th, and we started it up last year in 2020. It was going to be a I've always been into fitness, so it was a way for to sort of encourage people in the hospitality industry to get outside and exercise. And we were trying to sort of get away a little bit from doing food and wine events and just sort of something more lifestyle. And then COVID hit, so we needed to take that the hospitality hustle more virtual. And it ended up being one of those COVID blessings, because it ended up going virtual and expanding across British Columbia in a big way. The goal really for Hospitality Hustle is to give people a healthy goal, to keep them physically and mentally strong, show the solidarity for owners and workers in the hospitality and tourism industry that are struggling and may have lost their livelihoods, and the other ones that are maybe still working to keep
Okay.
their business afloat,
Okay.
and really the ones that are doing takeout options. So, starting March 15th, you can go to our website and register, set a goal, just become active, whether it's walking, cycling, running, prancing, dancing, playing tennis, golfing, whatever you want to do, and share your experience on social media with the hashtag Hospitality Hustle. And this year, it's very exciting. We had Odlum Brown Limited come on as our presenting sponsor. So that gives us a little bit more room to do a few more exciting things. And we are we've got lots of prizes. I believe there's going to be a prize every single day from March 15th until the end of May. And the end of May, on May 30th, we're going to do a live virtual dance party at the end of the day, on the day that people have kind of ran their 5K that they've trained for, or danced for an hour and a half in their living room, whatever they feel like doing. We're going to have a big dance party.
I think we've been hustled here. I think that hustle is exemplary. That's a hustle, friends. All right,
Yeah, it is.
Dana, we're going to let you go. Your website, of course, is bchospitalityfoundation.com, and the important website you want to know is nickelvineyard.com, so you can go and buy these wines. Thank you so much, Dana, for joining us. I'm going to carry on, Matt, if it's okay with you.
Thanks, Dana.
Was that it? She hung up? Wow.
Gonzo. All business.
Okay, fine. And I believe Dana's left us. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This is Tasting Room Radio. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Matthew Sherlock about, well, we're going to talk about everything Nickel and also Locke & Worth. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery and Bistro on the Naramata Bench. Preparations are underway in the wine shop and the tasting room for the 2021 season. The winery reopens March the 17th. The bistro reopens March the 18th. There's still complimentary shipping on all online orders of 6 or more bottles. Check out the 2013 Jowa Vineyard Merlot, which received 90 points. All the details can be found at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico's Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 4, retail sales Monday to Friday, noon to 4. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. Terry David Mulligan. Details can be found at mulliganstew.ca. The Tasting Room Radio website is right there. And Matthew has joined us back here. Matthew Serlock, who is one of the principal guys behind the wonderful vineyard, past Naramata Township, called Nickel Vineyards. And he is the director of sales and marketing and the right-hand guy for Ross, who is the guy who started the whole thing. And we're also going to talk about Lock & Worth. He's a partner in Lock & Worth, and it's a label that I am fascinated by, and I want you guys to know about it. But first, back to Nickel for a second. So did we actually describe that Pinot Gris that we can buy by the case? You talked about color, Matthew. I hear people when I'm standing in stores, wine stores, and they're talking about, they're in the rosé section, especially the women, talk about the color. They don't talk about the label or who made it or whatever it is. They buy by color. Is this still the case? And do you guys talk about when you're doing this Pinot Gris, which is almost a rosé color, it's salmon colored? Do you talk about the color, the eventual color?
Yeah, it's something that Alex Nickel, the original founder of the vineyard, started in the early 90s. There's an old Northern Italian tradition of leaving the skins in contact with the juice, with Pinot Gris. A producer named Fly Banny about 100 years ago started doing this, basically because when you get your Pinot Gris really ripe, phenolically ripe, it turns red. It looks almost like Pinot Noir on the vine. And this producer was kind of choked that his neighbors who weren't farming as well as him didn't have as good of grapes as he did, were getting the same price for their wine as him. So he started leaving color or contact with the skin to prove that he was a better farmer. And he actually, 3 generations later, they still do this in Northern Italy. And if you want to drink pink Pinot Gris, ask for Fly Banny.
Wow.
And that was Alex's thought. Back in the 90s, you know, I put so much effort into farming and I really have excellent fruit here. I want to prove it. So that's what we've stuck with 30 years later. And so it does have quite a salmon hue. It varies a little bit vintage to vintage, depending on the vintage. We don't use kind of manipulation to set the color. It just kind of is what it is after about 36 hours of skin contact prior to fermentation. So it's not an orange wine. It's more of a rosé ish wine. It's a lot of physical labor because we have to manually soak the grapes and then we manually take them out bucket by bucket into the press. So it's definitely a big 3 days for us at Nickel. If anyone wants to help during harvest, those are the best 3 days for us because many hands make light work.
Wow.
So yeah, it's definitely an artisanal product, and then some of it goes in barrel and some of it goes in stainless. So it has a slightly creamy texture from the malolactic fermentation in barrel, but it also has like nice, bright, fresh acidity from the more primary fruit characteristic we get from tank ferment. So yeah, it's kind of like a everything to everyone wine.
It's
to be honest,
just, first of all, it is a patio wine. You can't call it. I don't want to damn it as a patio wine, but I'm telling you now, friends, it is an incredible food wine. It will go with just about everything, and it's handy. Got a Stelvin screw cap. I mean, it's what you want. The thing is, I kind of wonder if the vault will be empty by the time we do some fundraising here. But you did make quite a few cases.
We did, yeah. And we have a little bit left. And we're just in the process of bottling our 2020 vintage, too. So we'll have P Pinot Gris throughout the year for sure. We would just like to basically move through what would have been sold to restaurants in the last 12 months as direct to consumer sales.
Good thinking. Matthew Sherlock from Nickel Vineyard on the Naramata Bench. I want to ask you about what else we can expect, what's coming from Nickel, and then we'll get to Lock and Worth because, as you say,
yeah.
All right. What do you got coming?
We're actually completely sold out of all of our reds at Nickel.
I wonder why.
Yeah, we don't make much. And I think finally our style is starting to become a little bit more attractive to people, like lower alcohol, a little more finesse, a little higher acidity, which is representative of where we are, higher elevation, North Naramata. And also we've just had an amazing support from our restaurant partners and direct to consumer and private retail. So all of our 2018s kind of sold out summer, fall, and we're looking to bottle the 19s on Tuesday of next week. So we'll have some stuff available, but everything's in such small quantity that kind of at the winery or at the really good private wine stores in town are kind of the best options.
Okay. And the whites?
Wine, Marquee, everything wine.
And the whites?
And then, we'll have 2020 Pinot Gris probably in April. And we have a new vintage of our Method Champenoise Sparkling available also 2019.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, and how about the tasting room? When will it open and how will it look? What will it look like?
It's going to look somewhat like it did last year. We did a reservation system last year by appointment only. We did a $20 reservation, which was refunded to, it was just put towards purchase. So really what we wanted to do was just make people commit to showing up because we only took two tables of up to six people per hour and did a guided six wine tour, all pre-poured with a very attentive, usually me or Mark, who works in the vineyard, who used to work at Cafe Medina, or we have some really talented people working in the tasting room, actually, who are former restaurant people in Vancouver this year, as well as last year. So we're going to do the same thing, sit down tasting, save an hour, spend some time with us. It's beautiful. It's out. It's in the vineyard.
It's a great story, too.
It's great. Enjoyed it last year. It was just more our pace. Like we didn't have to worry about tour buses or it was people that were into the wines and we were able to give them as much attention as they wanted. So if you want to come and taste and just us leave you alone and spend your time with six wines, that's awesome. But if you want to ask us 1,000 questions, we can answer them because everyone at Nickel does everything. So we can do a deep dive with you.
And how old are those Syrah vines now?
They're now 30 years old. So they're the oldest Syrah vines in Canada.
Exactly.
They're not very old for the world, but it's a pioneering vineyard in this country for sure.
That's right. And a vine is very happy the older it gets. I mean, when it gets into a certain age and the roots get down there and they know who they are and what they want to be, and it's a living, breathing thing. I love that. Now.
And they're reaching a level where they're also just they're mature in the sense that they kind of like do their own thing. We don't need to worry about them as much as new plantings, really, which is great.
Matthew Sherlock, one of the principal guys behind the wonderful vineyard called Nickel Vineyards, and he is the director of sales and marketing and the right-hand guy. And we're also going to talk about Lock and Worth. He's a partner in Lock and Worth. It's a label that I am fascinated by, and I want you guys to know about it. Do you want to talk about Two Barrels?
Yeah, we started doing Two Barrels in 2014. It's just our oldest Pinot Gris vines that are right outside the winery. And in 2014, Ross and I were in the cellar together, and we were just like, man, these are our best Pinot Gris grapes. Let's keep them separate. And so we fermented them in barrique and looked at them in the spring to decide if they were substantially different than the rest of the vineyard, and we thought they were. And then we did bench trials to make sure that we weren't taking away anything from the other grapes, and they weren't. We couldn't tell the difference, but we definitely saw a difference in the fruit of the Two Barrels. So we now we bottle between 50 and 70 cases of Two Barrels, which is a kind of wine club thing, restaurant, or a couple restaurants and wine shop thing, which is fun for us.
That's a Blanc de Noir Brut, the Pinot Noir High Elevation, and the Cab Franc?
They, we are hopefully coming out in April. Yeah, we'll see how they come out. It was a tough vintage in 19, so we're just looking at when to actually let them go. They're pretty crunchy at this point. we really like them, but I think they'll be wines that require some time.
When can we expect the 2018 Syrah Old Vines?
And that's sold out.
And Nate Syrah, I know.
Both sold out. We'll have the 19s ready in April. The 18s are long gone.
Okay, fine. It'll take some planning, friends. If you go anywhere near Nickel, it takes some planning. You have to. You cannot assume that they'll be smiling and greeting you with as many wines as you want to buy. You just have to, you know, they're popular, and they're popular for a reason, because they make great, great wine. That's it. All right. Let me take a break, because I want to talk about Lochinworth, and I really want to talk about Lochinworth for a second. Now, does anybody put a sandwich in front of you? Can I have like 10 minutes of your time?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. He is our guest, Matt Sherlock, from Nickel Vineyard and Lochinworth. He's the partner there. And we'll be right back talking about Lochinworth. L&W, friends, you're going to love this. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Enrico Winery, the picturesque 50-acre estate winery in the beautiful Cowichan Valley, with a microclimate that allows them to grow 7 different varietals, ranging from fruity whites to full-bodied reds. Enrico's Tasting Room is open Wednesday to Saturday, noon to 4. Retail sales Monday to Friday, noon to 4. Enrico Winery, just 45 minutes north of Victoria in the Cowichan Valley. And to really get connected, sign up for their newsletter. Just head for their website, EnricoWinery.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to 6 people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, Smoked Meats Barbecue Food Truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. And from all of the worker bees at The Hatch, have a safe 2021. Tasting Room Radio, Terry David Mulligan, Matt Sherlock, special guest. He didn't know that he was going to be 3/4 of the show, but he is. Matthew, I started to get a buzz about Lochinworth from my former neighbors on the Naramata Bench, who sort of gave me a buzz and said, keep an eye on Lochinworth, keep an eye on, they're just getting started. This was a couple of years ago, obviously. And I was drinking your wines before I ever met you. Tell me about the original philosophy behind Lochinworth, why it wanted to distance itself and stand apart.
I don't know if we wanted to do that. I guess we were a little bit shit disturbers like 9-10 years ago, but we started the winery. So Ross, who owns Nickel, and I co-own Lochinworth. We were given the opportunity to take over the original Poplar Grove vineyard site and the winemaking facility. And it didn't make sense for Ross to just put new vineyard into Nickel, because Nickel is about North Naramata. And the 4 acres at Lochinworth are Central Bench and different varietals. Also, we have Merlot there as well as Cab Franc. So we decided that we wanted to start a winery that just made single vineyard wines from all over the Okanagan, basically with vineyards where we could find farmers who were willing to work with us in the way that we wanted them to farm, or if we were farming it ourselves, ways we can convert and make wines with as little intervention as possible. Nickel's always been a very low intervention winery, but Lochinworth kind of gave us the new opportunity to push ourselves even further, and Ross to push himself even further as a winemaker, to do even less. Because we didn't have a built-in audience base, we were able to go to market, you know, with cloudy wine at first and wine with some sediment. And we weren't necessarily freaking out an established customer base.
Sure.
It was definitely tough going at first, but I think it's paid itself off, and we're really happy with what we're able to put to market these days.
I want to give people as a matter of fact, you say on your website something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, but you're saying we're different. It's either for you or not. You either get it or you don't, basically.
Right.
And your fellow troublemaker is Jay Drysdale from Bella. And,
I think it's
Jay who said, yeah, there's stuff floating around in the bottle. Get used to it.
Right.
So that's good. I was attracted by that immediately. I want to just run down a couple of things here. I would like to talk about all of the wines, but I can't because it says out of stock. However, the Sauv Blanc Chardonnay 2019, is it still available?
It is. That was a massive mistake.
Yes, of course.
Which, yeah, we didn't mean to do that. That's our single vineyard Chardonnay from Oliver, which we accidentally blended with our single vineyard Sauvignon Blanc from Naramata before we were going to go to bottle. So, we're really eating it there. Those are really not cheap wines for us, but we accidentally blended them into a tank at a barrel because there were some mismarked barrels, and then realized our mistake. Decided the wine needed a little bit more time to kind of come together as it was an accident. So we put it back in barrel together for another 8 months and bottled it in the fall of last year.
And the result?
And it's really good. It's what my wife drinks at home every night. Partly because, you know, we kind of want to move past it, but also because she really digs it.
Am I seeing the
proper? It's not something we'll ever make again, hopefully. But
and there's some left. And how much is it per bottle?
It's $13.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I just want it gone. Like, everyone who's had it and buys it has been reordering over and over and over again.
How much did you make?
We made almost 600 cases.
Oh, Jesus.
So we decimated our Chardonnay. So we made 28 cases of Chardonnay instead of, you know, 400. And then we made half as much Sauvignon Blanc because we dumped it into the Chardonnay.
Okay.
So it was a real mess. But the wine's delicious. We're just never going to make it again.
Okay.
So
all right. I like that.
That's why it's cheap. And we didn't sell it to any restaurants or retail. We just put it on the website. It's cheap. If you know us, you'll love it.
Okay.
Go for it.
The Semillon Lost Horn 2018. Any left?
Yeah. So we have some Semillon left from Lost Horn, which is the Oliver Vineyard. And we have some Semillon from Colonna left, which is Derek Knorr's Vineyard. Both beautiful wines. They're still in stock. Really, really happy with them. They'll age for quite some time, so we're in no rush.
The Lost Horn 2018 is $21.65, and the Semillon Colonna, you know these, of course, is $26. So, and there's a Sauv Blanc Semillon 2019.
That's coming back in like 2 weeks, so we'll have the 2020 available. And that's around the $20 mark.
I dig the hell out of that. I really do. I've reached for it a lot. The Chardonnay from Lost Horn, out of stock, okay. The Rosé Cab Franc, Middle Bench is out of stock. The Rosé Cab Franc, Northern Bench is out of stock. And the Merlot, surprisingly, is out of stock.
Yeah. We've had no wine, really, for quite some time. But we're bottling, like I said, now. So in, I'd say in a month or two, there should be stuff on the website. And I mean, the Rosé and the Merlot will disappear pretty fast.
Yep.
So like our wine club members will get it. And then there's, you know, some people in Vancouver and our export markets that jump on that stuff pretty fast.
How does one join the wine club?
Just on the website.
Okay. How much does it cost?
It doesn't. We don't charge anything for...
Oh, come on.
Our wine clubs are kind of stupid. You just join,
and
then we give you a discount and free shipping.
Okay.
It's like, I don't know what we're doing.
Way to go. All right, so a couple of things. One is, what is the case price for that Pinot Gris that the $10 is going to?
Case price with tax all in is, I believe, $210.
$210, okay.
And then shipping's free in BC.
Thank you. Now, any surprises this year? Any mistakes? Anything you haven't told us about?
Probably the most exciting wine is I bought a vineyard a year and a half ago, even further north of Nickel, which was Merlot, which used to go into Laughingstock portfolio.
Uh-huh.
And I converted it to organics with the help of Jay, of course, from Bella last year. Well, with a massive amount of help from Jay from Bella last year. Cut yield down quite a bit and made a rosé out of it. And we're super happy about it. I just bottled it in Magnums. So now we have three rosés, the white label, the gray label, and this has got a pink label. And we named the vineyard Apricot Hill because I have a bunch of wild apricots surrounding the vineyard. So I'm really happy to have, after a bunch of really hard work in the vineyard last year, to see the wine be in bottle. So I'm pretty happy with that. And I'm currently pruning that vineyard right now.
Speaking of happy, are you happy? Do you like what you're doing?
That's great. Living the dream, Terry.
Okay. Nickelvineyard.com. What's the Lockenworth address?
Lockenworth.com.
Okay, fine. Are you doing tastings? Is there a Lockenworth destination anywhere?
Yeah, excellent question. We are not taking reservations. What we decided to do, because it's such a busy location and we share the wine shop with Poplar Grove Cheese, so we do cheese and wine together. Yeah. It's a huge traffic spot. So we just made six tables, and if there's a table available, you can have it. And instead of doing tastings, we're doing what we call tastings by the bottle. So you can buy a bottle and we'll give you some glasses and give you some cheese, and you can enjoy an hour out on the sunny deck. You don't need to make a reservation. You can just roll up, buy a bottle, eat some cheese and relax, and then go on your serious wine tastings before or after that.
Okay.
But that's how we're handling it. So it worked out really great last year. People loved it because it was no stress. And that's how we're just managing that spot with the traffic volume.
Just so you know, listeners, there's one other bonus that Matt's not talking about, because he sees it every day and he may even take it for granted. But when you stand there outside that cheese shop and you look to the south, say, what you're seeing is the absolutely classic shot of the Naramata Bench, with the Munson Mountain. Is it the King Vineyard in front? I think it's
King. That's the Poplar Grove Vineyard, is the one you see immediately when you look across.
Oh, okay, fine.
The original. It's ours now. Yeah.
But it is a classic shot. You will literally, your eyes will be feasting on what you see in front of you. I have it as a painting, so I see it every day. Well done on this, and whatever comes down the road, you have well and truly earned, and we'll keep telling you, the audience, about Lockenworth and Nickel and Matthew Sherlock. Thanks, Matt.
Great. Thanks so much, Terry. Be well.
He's Matt Sherlock, and he has been our special guest today on Tasting Room Radio. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to announce that Black Swift Vineyards has opened The Nest. Their tasting room is open on a first-come, first-served basis, no booking required, currently accepting groups of up to six people in accordance with good response guidelines. They have a wonderful patio and a picnic area you can often find on site, Grumpy Chef, Little Tokyo Ramen, and their very own smoke show, smoked meats barbecue food truck on the site. BlackSwiftVineyards.com and TheHatchWines.com. And from all of the worker bees at The Hatch, have a safe 2021. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. And for all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I have found John Glavina at Giant Head in Summerland, and John is pouring himself the Canyon View Wines 2017 Pinot Noir. John, first of all, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Terry. Glad to be here.
Okay. Have you now got a sense of who your client is? Who is attracted to Giant Head Wine, the way you make your wines, the choices that you give all of us out there. Who are we? You got a sense of that?
I think it's 53% women and 47% men, and they're between the age of 35 and 55, according to all the social media. No, I honestly, there's so much of it, Terry, you know that, and there's so much in varied quality, but I think that people actually come here into the Okanagan and are touring about and are eager to know just a little bit more, you know, about who it is that's making their wine and, you know, what is the real story beyond the Disneyfication of the wine.
Yeah,
game,
the Disneyfication.
You know?
Well, I love that. I have one more question, John, before we get to talk about what you're tasting and what's on offer. And that is, what do you think, a short answer if you can, what do you think 2021 is going to look like after 2020? I mean, the growing season was fine. Good. We're okay on the growing season. There was a smaller volume of fruit coming off the land. But what do you think for us, the consumer, and for you, opening your tasting room, what do you think 2021 is going to look like?
I hope the vaccines are going to come out soon. I hope there's going to be more vaccines available and that people will get them sooner and that it'll be good news as opposed to slower. I think people will continue to come out and want to experience the Okanagan, which is beautiful. And no better place than in wide open spaces. I mean, the problem in the restaurant industry, which is just so sad, a lot of my friends that run restaurants struggle, and they're indoors, and they can't have the expansion out onto the street. But we're in a vineyard, and we've got a lot of space, and we've got a lot of ways to keep people spaced apart, and so I think that there'll be some opportunity for people to come out and taste wine and on patios, and there'll be, I think, a lot more, scheduling and appointments. I think some of the wineries will be offering more like a reservation than it's just sort of a queue show up and I hope I'm going to get served. I think there'll be people will value coming in and having perhaps a bite to eat and a little tour and buying a case of wine instead of like a bottle or two.
I think
that's what we found last year. Anyway, a lot more people buying more wine, but for us, I think the volume was down because, especially in September when the second wave was expected.
John Glavina and Jenny Lee, the co-founders of Giant Head Summerland. And you have in your glass the CV Pinot Noir 2017, retails at $47.74.
This is from the Kenny V Wines brand, so this is our ultra-premium brand. Sold out of the sort of the New Zealand style one that went into the Giant Head label. And then we did a little special experimenting with the Canyon View Sauvignon Blanc. And we put some of it, we fermented in three separate barrels. They're beautiful French oak barrels. And we did a wild ferment in one of them and two different yeasts, designer yeasts in the other two barrels. And we ended up by liking the wild yeast and some of the designer yeast. So we made a nice blend and used about 18% barrel. Got some just beautiful, rich notes to it. And it should age quite well as well. Even though being a white wine, it's got that, you know, component of oak in there. And I think it's it should age beautifully for at least another 5 years.
How successful was the Blanc de Noir 2016?
The Blanc de Noir?
Yep.
It was pretty successful. I think it tastes probably as good as any of the sparklings.
Exactly.
Blanc de Noir.
Which is why I asked the question, will it be a 2017?
There is a 2017. Mm-hmm. We haven't released it yet. We're going to wait till we get through the rest of the 2016. There's about 50 or so cases left. Yeah. And the 17, of course, vintage, I honored my friend Herschel. Yep. With that bottle.
Yep.
And it should come out. It's a bit more frizzanty than this one, in that it has less intense bubbles, the 17 vintage. So the 16 is a bit more intense with the smaller bubbles, and it was a slightly different style. I can talk to you about it if you're interested. But essentially, the 17 was kind of like inline sparged or infused, and the 16 was done in a tank and infused in a chilled tank.
Okay.
And then bottled on a line. But we liked the results from the 16 personally, but the 17 is still a nice bubbling, sparkling. But I don't think we will be doing another CO2 infused. I think if we do more sparkling, we will just go and do a traditional method.
Oh, well done. Now, looking ahead to 2021, the rosé's out now. The Sauv Blanc is almost out, if not by the time this airs on Saturday, it may be out. So the rosé, wonderful. The Sauv Blanc, wonderful. What follows?
Well, we've got a late harvest Gewurz that's still in the winery. We have experimented with late harvest before and have a lot of fun with it, because the system that we use is Scott Henry. So some of the vines go down and some of the vines go up. And so the ones that go down maintain their acids a little bit better, and the ones that go up get a lot more flavors. And so we can do a late harvest with, you know, some nice residual, high residual sugar that also has some good backbone acid that's not, you know, like, you know, manufactured like a tartaric add, you know, it's like, and so then we've often used sweet reserves. We save some of the juice from pressing, and we've had a lot of fun with that late harvest. So that's coming, and we're going to be experimenting with a bit of port this year too. So I don't know when that's coming out.
And about the Chardonnay, any Chardonnay coming?
Oh, I've got the 17 Chardonnay, which is retasting really nice. From the Canyon View wines, from that ultra premium brand, the Canyon View wines brand, and that comes from the Canyon View vineyard as well. That's available now.
Okay.
on the island.
Wonderful. When does the new version of Canada's Best Merlot come out?
Oh my God. You know, we're always a few years behind with the Merlot. Right now, there's very few bottles of the 17 vintage left, and the 17 vintage is quite nice. We've been selling it in the wine shop last year. We've got the 18 that's going to be available this summer, probably, that people are going to be drinking. But I am so excited about the 19 vintage that I might put them out concurrently, because the 18 is got a little bit more like a tweed jacket feel to it.
Yeah.
whereas the 19 is almost it's like metrosexual, like it's you know, you look at the leaves of a Merlot plant compared to a Pinot Noir, and they've almost got a shimmery shine to it. So the 19 vintage is it's more, you know, groomed, and we took a little advice from our New Zealand friend, and we did a little carbonic maceration, and so it's just got a little bit more perfume nose to it, like really. It's so different from the 15, so different in style. But it's exciting.
Okay.
You know, it's really exciting. And so I think we like to do different things here, as you know. And like even with our Gewurztraminer, we've made sweet ones, we've made dry ones, we've made ones that have a little higher VA to blow off some of the aromatics on the nose. And then we've made bone dry ones that you wouldn't even know as a Gewurz by varietal. And so it's nice when you can compare them and say, hey, this is a Gewurz, this is a Gewurz, and this is a Merlot, and this is a Merlot. But they're different, and it's totally the winemakers, not just the the vineyard that it comes from, but it's the it's stylistically, and so I'm excited about the Merlot 19. So yeah, okay, you can hold me to it. We'll sell some in wine shop this year.
All right, John. Just two things: your price points on, because they're coming and they're on the shelves now. The rosé, the 2019 rosé. What's the price point?
About $23 here in the wine shop.
Okay.
We've also bottled the 2020.
All right. And when rosé, did you say the 2020 rosé is out now?
Just today we got DQA approval.
And the Saint Blanc, what's the price point on the Saint Blanc?
$19.99 retail.
Okay.
The Sauvignon Blanc, that's the Sauvignon Blanc from Giant Head, okay?
Sure.
But the, and that's from 2020 because the previous vintage sold out. But the Canyon View Sauvignon Blanc, the one in the ultra premium label, that's going to be around $30.
Yeah.
You should be able to get out with taxes for around $30.
Okay.
But that's much more sophisticated and complicated wine.
What's the website?
You can always find us by giantheadwinery.com.
John, when do you open? When's the tasting room open?
As soon as we can. I mean, as soon as we can get some weather and some okay from the provincial health order that we feel that, you know, it can be safe. But I expect in April on weekends.
Okay.
And then
can't happen soon enough.
Yeah, and then probably not full time until June, like last
That's
year.
Okay.
June, July, and August will be open for those 3 months, 7 days a week.
Well, hello to Ginny Lee, and hello to everybody working there, your growers, your cellar rats, and yourself, John Glavina, for and Herschel Medzygorski, for turning me on and connecting all of us. Giant Head. Canyon View Cellars, just check them out. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor. The Moon Cursor name pays tribute to the gold smuggling history of Osoyoos. The winery's focus has always been making premium wines from old world grape varieties like Tanat, Dolcetto, and Torrija Nacional. After all of that hard work and dedication, Moon Cursor was recognized as the number one best performing small winery at the 2019 Wine Align National Wine Awards of Canada. Not only do they have a great wine club, but also think about giving a wine club membership as a great gift. You can find all of the details at mooncursor.com.